It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Are we ready now?
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Happy Sunday morning. How you doing there, Nance?
Very good.
Good. Fall finally decided to show up.
Yes.
Like 3 weeks later.
Listen, the moment that Halloween ended, though, I went and got my Christmas stuff out.
You know what's happening right now? It's the utter convergence of all everything hitting at one time. Like, this was peak season. For those of you who don't know, we're located in the Midwest here, and usually peak season is right around the 15th of October.
Right.
Right in there. And because we didn't have a lot of rain this year, it was a little bit delayed. All of a sudden, here in the Geneva Lakes area, where, you know, this show is located and is kind of our home base, all of a sudden fall just decided to wake up.
It's gorgeous.
Yes, it is gorgeous. And it's into November, which is really unheard of. And we also were spared that, like, whatever that storm is that we normally get, and then all the leaves just fall.
Right.
And then it's just like a Tim Burton movie. It's just like barren, right? And like gray.
And brown.
And brown forever.
Tan.
It's still like super vibrant.
It is.
So it's really exciting.
It's really weird.
Although you're right. It's converging.
Right.
It's converging with Thanksgiving. It's converging with people wanting to decorate for the holiday season.
Too late. I'm already doing it. I don't care.
You know what's coming up, Nancy, in a week or so here?
What?
Mm-hmm. The fall cornucopia show with the cocktails.
Cornucopia!
I know.
I love the fall cornucopia show.
Everybody be marking the calendar. Okay, you're gonna wanna get on and tune in sometime over the next couple Sundays.
Full disclosure, I love all the cornucopia shows.
The cornucopia shows are fun. Just sort of a catch-all.
Right? They really are.
Today we're a little bit more focused, which is kind of nice.
Okay.
But I want to start off by saying, got a special guest coming in segment two here. We got Kim Meredith from Beacle Stone talking all things stone, which is not a topic that we've covered on the show. And I was so impressed with her and the showroom and the team at Beacle Stone that we really sort of needed to get her on as a guest. And we're fortunate to have her in the studio with us today. Before we sort of get to her, I wanted to talk a little bit about the event that I was at the Mart this week. Which was the Powerhouse Smart Chicago Luxury Conference, which was, wow, really, it was actually really, it was my first time attending with this particular organization. Actually, the reason we were there was because and it's really exciting to announce, we were selected through the Ryan Haney, who's a really well-known photographer who does a lot of he does work for a lot of interior designers, shoots their interiors. And I don't know, Nancy, if you've ever heard me talk about his process at all. If you're not familiar with Ryan's work, he had the opportunity to shoot one of our projects recently, I want to say in the spring or early summer. And his process is just amazing, because what he'll do is he'll look at a room and he won't just shoot it with the light that, you know, is naturally coming
right.
in. What he'll do is he'll take multiple exposures from the same angle.
We did talk about this.
Sort of dampering the light a little bit and sort of accentuating it. So then what he does, he takes all of those exposures and then goes into the lab. At least this is how I envision him doing it. He sort of goes into
the
this
white
like
coat.
Lab. Yeah, exactly. He goes in and he like Tesla and his hair's all over the place and he goes in and although he does, the funniest thing is he doesn't have that much hair. Sorry, Ryan. But he goes into the lab and he like comes out with these like beautiful photographs that like capture every essence of the interior. And we were fortunate enough to get him on one of our projects to be able to shoot it, and it was selected for inclusion into the publication that his publisher is putting together with him, which is fantastic, called Midwest Home.
Yeah.
Which is 20 of like the top homes in the Midwest from his perspective, showcasing the diversity of the design styles in the Midwest, and really a celebration of Midwest design, which I thought was fantastic, because you know that the landscape of interior design media tends to be kind of coastal and southern driven. Let's be really honest. It's almost like, we're all true flyover country from a media perspective, but there's some really exciting design that's happening in the Midwest, because it's not really specific necessarily to a design style. Like sometimes
right.
It can be in California, can be in the South, and can be on the East Coast. So we were so fortunate and so honored to be there. And he was invited to speak at the Chicago Luxury Conference. That's hosted by Powerhouse Smart, and the champion of that is a woman by the name of Wendy Cohn, who's just fantastic. at putting this together. I believe they're in their ninth year of doing it. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. The keynote speaker, Jen Zella, was just a fantastic keynote speaker who talked about actually the concept of love in business, mm-hmm. Passion for what you do, and actually sort of being vulnerable within your expression of what you're trying to achieve, not only professionally, but personally. And then also how do you, by extension, how do you share that with the team? And then how do you have the team sort of carry on that message as well?
Sure.
Just a fascinating conference. And I met so many wonderful people, and it was a great networking event, but it was also really there to celebrate Ryan. And so that was one of the reasons that we were there. So really, really great event. I was really excited to sort of be there, but it definitely, I think the one thing I was actually equally as excited about was that it was sweater weather.
Ah, sweater weather.
And so, you know, of course, I brought my full array of boots, right? And I was kind of ready for it, which was really exciting. I mean, I don't do these conferences all that often. I mean, unless I'm invited to speak.
Right.
Or be on a panel.
Right.
And in this case, I was. But this one, I was equal parts panel and sort of participant.
Cool.
And so it was very interesting to hear their conversation about future of luxury. It was fascinating because, you know, everybody, I think right now, especially with the landscape of social media and PR and marketing, there's just so many channels at your disposal. It can be difficult to understand how to navigate it. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about the future of luxury. And I walked away with, I think, the future of luxury. This is going to be a topic for a show, not today's show, but it'll be a topic for a future show. I think luxury is going to be the ability to disappear.
Ah.
And to hide. I think true luxury is going to be the ability to Faraday case your life.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, you know what I mean? Like, shut the phone off. Nobody knows who you are. You're wherever you are, no one needs to know unless the people who really know you need to know. Mm-hmm. I think true luxury is going to be the ability to just sort of recede away from the noise. I just get this feeling, and I
unplug.
I kind of unplug, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, I don't know. I think that's an interesting. There's a lot there for us to talk about on a future show. Definitely with a cocktail. Mm-hmm. But I believe that is going to be, I think, a focus, this sanctuary, this foundational, elemental understanding of what's important to you, and a sense of permanence. You know, you and I have talked a lot about what it really means to, what does the concept of home really mean, and mm-hmm. how it's different for everyone. But there are a lot of common threads, and a lot of those common threads come down to things that are very simple.
Yeah.
You know, not always easy to achieve, but can be very simple. A lot of it's just peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, quiet, you know, to be able to live intentionally.
We had a client one time that their slogan for this particular season was disconnect to reconnect.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, I mean, it was perfect.
Yeah. I just don't know. And I think people are really going to start to crave from a human perspective. And I definitely think this is going to be true in younger generations. You know, Nancy, you and I understand what it was like to not have a phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we understand when we didn't have basically like a computer in our pocket. Okay.
Right.
That like cataloged our entire life. You know, like, we're so attached to it. We almost feel like if we can't find it, it's like we can't survive.
Some days it's like, oh, darn, I can't find my phone and it's on silent. Maybe I'll just snuggle with the dogs all day.
Yeah, and we have that perspective. I just feel like this. There's going to be this craving, because I just think it's in us, this craving to just shut it down.
Because we're inundated.
I just don't think it's sustainable, you know. And I feel like, especially when we start talking about, you know, Kim from Beaklestone is going to talk to us, you know, about exactly these foundational elements, and I do believe that materials matter,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
In what your surroundings feel like. I do think surrounding yourself with natural materials in design really does matter. And so I'm interested to sort of have that conversation with her to find out. I mean, there's a lot about it I don't know, and there's a lot about it I do know. So I think I'm excited to take everybody on this journey today to chat with her about that. But there is really a, no pun intended, a foundational element here that I think we're trying to discuss on this show that I think is woven through almost every episode that we do, which is trying to define for you how you can help define the concept of home mm-hmm. for yourself and for your family and the ones you love, when you want to share it, how you want to share it, and sometimes, to be honest, when you don't, you know? When you just kind of want to be settled. So listen, when we come back for the break, we're going to welcome Kim Meredith from Beaklestone. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Oh my gosh. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. If you want to catch past episodes, you can also find us on Spotify. So listen, really honored to have Kim Meredith in from Beaklestone joining us this morning. Thank you so much for coming in.
That's so sweet. Thank you for having me, Philip. I am completely humbled and honored to be here.
This is fantastic.
So now. No.
For now. Yeah, just wait a few minutes. Just wait a few minutes.
Nah, we have a good time.
Yeah. So listen, I want to start off the conversation by just introducing the audience to a little bit about, you know, why we're having you on. Mm-hmm. And one of them is to, from an educational perspective, you know, the importance of sort of materials application, why the materials matter, how the materials work. And I find that in the design industry, I don't know that we always do the best job of education.
Sure.
And what I was really struck by at getting to know your company, better was just your educational approach, and I was struck by something this week when I was at Powerhouse Smart. Mm-hmm. You guys hosted a breakfast.
We did.
For that conference. Yes. And it was great to see the team. Mm-hmm. But you know, at every single display, you have a little card.
We do.
And at that card shows kind of where the stone is quarried and the location, a little bit about the blend of the stone. And so there is very much, and we're going to talk a little bit more about your stone journal. We'll talk about that too. That's a very cool, that's a cool publication you got going on. But I will tell you that I was struck by the educational process that you guys have really pushed to the forefront, which is in complete alignment with what we do at the Design Coach. Talk a little bit about that for me, if you would, about it seemed to be very obvious to me that pushing that to the forefront was something that you guys believe is an important part of getting to understand your materials.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about you and Beaklestone.
Well, obviously Beaklestone, I thank you for recognizing that, Philip, because we really do try to do that. That is certainly a part of what we find important, because our motto at Beaklestone is to provide an experience. And best experiences are often supported through education, right? If you understand something,
100%.
You're either going to like it or you're not going to like it. And so we do that.
If you don't like it, you're going to learn to appreciate
it. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, the educational piece, those little cards that you talk about on each one of our materials, it's very intentional. It's helping people recognize perhaps what it is they like or do not like within what they are looking at. So it allows our team members to create realistic expectations through visual. I mean, people are visual, right? What we do is very visual. From a natural stone perspective, it is very important to see, touch, feel, understand what it is you are seeing, touching, feeling.
Especially with a natural product that has so much variation.
Correct.
You know, everyone tries to micromanage the visual of stone. Yes. I'm sure you get this quite a bit. Like, I like that, but I'm not quite sure I like it when it goes pink. And you're like, okay, well, like, and you sort of look at it like it's a natural material, you know, like at some point you have to let the stone be the stone.
Sure.
And you can't micromanage every detail. And in fact, what I find is you don't want to.
No.
So I love the fact that you guys had pushed that to the forefront about what the blends look like.
Yeah, of course.
So if you were to, so first of all, how long have you been with Beaklestone?
So I've been with Beakle for going on 13 years.
That's
in January,
a long time.
It'll be 13 years. Yeah. So it's been a wild ride. It's been a great ride. I've been fortunate to have multiple different roles throughout my tenure at Beakle. So everything from support roles to management roles, where now I find myself.
Oh, so you've seen it all.
I have, which gives me a great understanding of not only our organizational outreach and what we need to do from an organizational standpoint, but also gives me different perspectives from those different chairs on what our clients expect or need in certain circumstances.
What can you tell our audience about Beaklestone? Because it's fascinating. You're from Wisconsin.
I am.
Which is great. So you're local.
Which is
really great.
Yes.
Wisconsin's very own Kim Meredith. tell me a little bit about because it's family owned, which I love that as well. Tell me a little bit about them.
For sure. So in a nutshell, Beaklestone is a family owned and run business. Started back in 1964. With Ma and Pa Beakle, Francis and Alice Beakle, who turned their 125-acre farm into a quarry.
Wow.
They literally bet their farm that they could make this business happen.
Wow.
And that's it in a nutshell. And wow, here we are, 61 years later.
Yeah. I mean, you operate in, okay, so tell us where you guys quarry right now. Like, tell us a little bit about your reach.
Absolutely. So our corporate headquarters is in Wisconsin. So it's in a town of Chilton, Wisconsin, which is about 100 miles north of here.
Okay.
That's where our corporate office is. We have other quarry and fabrication locations out in Kansas and North Carolina. And then we have design centers specifically and strategically placed throughout the country.
Where are those?
In Chicago. Mm-hmm. We're down at the Mart in Chicago. We're up in Kohler, Wisconsin. We're up in Minneapolis. And we're also out in San Francisco.
Oh, fantastic.
With hopes to include more of those in the future.
And you were mentioning your territories. Tell me where you operate.
So I myself find myself championing Beacle in Illinois and Indiana, and then additionally some southwestern states of Texas, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico.
Which you were saving for winter travel.
Of course I am. I am not silly, because some people may like that snow, I may be looking to get away from that
snow.
Right,
it's all of a sudden like open territory, like territories are open. She's like, can I have Texas? Because I was in Indiana all February last year.
You know what I mean? Hey, Indiana's not so bad.
I'm not saying it was bad.
I grew up in Indiana.
I'm just saying it ain't that warm, okay? In the Midwest.
Yeah,
it's
not that different from here.
Right.
Correct. Okay. So the showroom concept, and I can only speak because I've only visited the one at the Mart. Mm-hmm. What I love about it is if you want to do a download on stone, mm-hmm, if you really want to sort of take it all in, mm-hmm, and do the journey, mm-hmm, the showroom is really incredible.
Absolutely.
It's where I referenced those little information cards that are sort of attached to attached to the display so you can learn more about it.
Sure.
Tell the audience a little bit about the showroom experience. Like, what can they expect when they go? If they're starting this journey to try to find out what's the right stone for their project, tell me a little bit about how the showroom can help them do that.
Absolutely. So the one thing about what we do and the material that we provide, right, natural stone, is that I will go out on a ledge to say that it is super crucial for you to get to a showroom to actually see materials.
I agree.
It's one thing to start with inspirations from photos and things like that, or perhaps projects you drove past that you like, but it's a completely different experience to get in front of it, to have that see, touch, feel kind of experience. When people come in based on maybe their past experiences or not, whether it's their first home, their 10th home, whatever it is, a lot of times we will notice that people have deer in the headlights looks when they come in. They didn't recognize or realize.
It's walls of boards of stone.
There were so many options for stone. Yeah. So hopefully on top of that, and maybe people don't even notice, but we strategically set up our showrooms in ways of color. Oh. So we try to group things together that
now
makes
I'm going
sense
to look for
as
that.
We navigate different things, right? So from an experience standpoint, we try to acknowledge that it probably is overwhelming when someone comes in, but our job as the Beacle
Absolutely. Those showrooms do such a nice job making it not only inviting and welcome, but also educational, but not not intimidating.
Yeah. Right? Well, our approach is very consultative, right?
100%.
So we want
you get that sense from your team right away.
We want everyone to know that we care about their project. We know every project is different. We know every project doesn't necessarily require the same kind of thing, but our approach to how we navigate that is similar in every aspect.
You know, it's interesting because when we talked at Design Chicago, which is where we met, when we were at Design Chicago, we were talking specifically about the importance of stone. And just to share with everybody my perspective on, at the Design Coach, how we view stone on projects, it's really an important feature because it does visually ground
certainly
a lot of the projects that we do. And you can have, right, you know, you can have elevations that are just sort of void, right, where stone actually adds to the overall look and feel in such a significant way.
Correct.
And that it's almost like one of those applications where you have to be able to pay as much attention, if not more attention, to how you apply the stone as you do any other material on the exterior of a home.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times what we'll do is we'll take that stone that is a signature on the exterior and we will add that link to the interior.
Carry
so it doesn't just pertain to the exterior of a project. It pertains to how you then bring that material inside, whether it's in a form of a mantle, even if it's in the form of flooring.
Absolutely. Yeah, the cohesiveness on how of your outside to inside is
Can you tell us
important.
Just a little bit about the product lines that you guys carry? Because when people think stone, I think they maybe only have one dimension of what that really means. And you guys fabricated a bunch of different ways.
We do. So while there's over 120 different blends, if you were to open a catalog, you'll notice lots of those things. Really really the call out of the different cuts, right? The different shapes and colors that you'll find.
Oh my gosh, can you walk us through that? Because I feel like when people think stone, they're like, okay, I don't, you know, they're worried about the applique. Yeah, rocks. Yeah. You think rocks. But that's not the way it's manufactured and fabricated these days.
That is correct.
Walk us through that.
Yeah. So one rock based on how it is fabricated and processed and then essentially shown to the clients, multiple things can come from one particular piece of stone or one type of stone. And so that's really what it is we do. We take a core product and kind of manipulate it a bunch of different ways to maybe make it look different.
You do slice and dice it, literally.
We do, a little bit.
Yeah. And so you turn the stone into what types of products? So
obviously you have your horizontal applications for pavings or landscape materials, things like that. But then most people are going to gravitate toward that vertically applied. So your full bed stone versus thin bed stone. And it's all the same. It's just how we fabricate it.
Can you describe that full versus thin?
Absolutely.
Walk people through some of the technical on that because I feel like there's a lack of understanding of that particular end of it,
course.
Especially from a cost perspective.
Yes.
So if you could navigate that
certainly.
For us.
So when you start with a large rock, when it goes through the processing, we'll just talk about that full and thin veneer application. So this is based on architectural drawings, how the building structure is actually identified for the stone itself. So whether we have a brick ledge or not to carry weight of full bed material, which is typically going to be 3 to 5 inches thick. So it's a thick, right? It's thick stone. It needs a ledge, a support base. We can also take that when we go inside, slice the face of that off to about 3/4 inch to 1 1/4 inch, same particular material, but now it is a self-supporting material. So we don't have to beef up floors. We don't have to worry about weight construction, things like that. So
yet it'll look the same.
Absolutely.
So for instance, so to give you the application, you might be using the full stone on the exterior.
Correct.
And you might be using the facing stone.
Correct.
Cut for the interior.
Well, and oftentimes too, even on an exterior application, when you have gables, when you have chimney chases, when you have things above roof lines, you don't want to have to worry about
the weight of thousands of
pounds of stone up there. So that's really Beekel was one of the champions in kind of creating and generating thin veneer years ago. So
I was going to ask you, how are you still today? Not just that, we'll get to the consumer end in a minute, but how are you coaching professionals on that application? Because I do find that varies from architect to architect, from builder to builder.
Sure. A lot of it is just it's what you know and what you don't, right? So people will have their opinion no matter what it is. Some people are like, I will never use thin veneer stone just because it gets nasty terms. I mean, you hear it called lick and stick. You hear it called whatever. You don't think professionals are needed to install the product. And that's actually not true.
No,
no matter what it is, you absolutely need a professional to install masonry. Period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, period.
Right.
And actually, the artistry that's involved in that, in the application of the stone, can make or break it.
Absolutely.
Which we did talk about at Design Chicago.
Did.
When we come back from the break, here's what I want to dig into. I want to dig into application, right? And then I want to do a little bit of stone 101.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
On walking people through the process of selecting the right stone for their project.
Sure. Sounds great.
So stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. If they only knew what happened off between the break. Anyway, good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're speaking with Kim Meredith from Beekel Stone. Thank you so much again for coming in.
I'm so great to be here.
I have a feeling this is going to bleed into probably segment 4, but like right now, we're gonna keep this train rolling because I get these guests in and then I'm like, we're going to do 2 quick, and it's like, it's never too quick of anything.
It's like continued next show.
Yeah, exactly. Join us next week for more stone. I'm just saying right now, as we're talking about this product, and for those of you who don't know, you work with Beekel Stone.
Yes.
A national stone, supplier.
Yes.
And you work in all these different regions. And your projects where your stone is featured is beautiful.
Yes.
The showrooms are sort of an educational hub.
Yes.
Which I love. Are all of the showrooms, are they all set up the same?
They're similar. I would say the one that you've been to, Chicago, is very similar to our Kohler location.
Okay.
In Minneapolis and San Francisco, we have a little bit smaller footprint, so not quite as large as those two locations, but the concept is essentially the same.
It's interesting, as we were describing at Design Chicago when we were on that panel, together with John Melby, mm-hmm. we were talking about the fact that so much of design has gone digital, mm-hmm. and that there really has been this resurgence of support for showrooms,
yes.
because you can get physical
yeah.
and tactile with the material.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a more important material to do that with than stone.
100%.
Where people are returning back to, like there was this time, Nancy, where people were just pulling photos and saying, I want this, and yep. not actually going and doing the homework mm-hmm. to really understand that a picture of a stone is not seeing it in person.
Correct. And I can't imagine.
And that stone is alive. Visually, I yes. would describe it as alive.
Yeah.
It has a dazzle, sometimes yes. a sparkle, sometimes a dullness.
Yes.
Right, to it, depending on the stone yes. that you choose, that really matters in person.
Absolutely.
And so we were talking about sampling mm-hmm. and then making sure that you get samples in, that you put it up, mm-hmm. you know, at the job site to see it in person.
Correct.
But that journey starts at the showroom.
It does.
Yeah.
So
if you could walk us through people who come in, or even like, you know, professionals who come in, how do you guys begin walking them through Stone 101?
Sure. No, that's great. And just to kind of piggyback and go back to what you just said, right? From a digital perspective, that's helpful to a point, yeah. right? So in this case, when people come to a showroom, it's often what we do is we start with questions, right? And we ask a lot of questions because our intent is, from that experience standpoint, to really completely
understand agree with you.
It's, your project.
It's generally helpful for shape of stone,
yes.
not color. I will encourage clients to go and grab digital references because of shape,
yeah.
but I'm very cautious of color.
Sure.
It's never the same color.
The same. No.
Never.
No.
So that's, no. I can't imagine investing in something as important as that kind of exterior or even interior, mm-hmm. but not physically put your hands on it and touch it and look at it and
well, I think
feel
especially
it.
Especially with some of the clients that we work with, where these are legacy homes,
right?
These are once in a lifetime
Correct.
Types of projects.
You can't do that from a picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, but it's amazing how people often say they don't have time, and you know, you have one of two choices: either you hire a professional. Mm-hmm. Who you trust to be able to pick the right stone for you.
Right.
Which, you know, we're fortunate enough we do that. But I still find that even though my clients trust me, I would still rather have them have the opportunity to view it.
Right.
And so the showrooms become really helpful because sure. then we can harvest the right selections mm-hmm. and then you will ship samples yeah. wherever, correct?
But also with that trust, right? If they're leaving it to you, you are going to go and visit a showroom to mm-hmm. be able
100%.
To see that. You're not going to pick it off of a photo or a catalog or whatever no. it is. That might lead you toward what the desired intent would be, but it's never the final pick.
Where does your team start with the stone selection process when someone walks in?
That's great. So we do start with questions. Like we ask a lot of questions. And it's funny because I'm going to go back. I think you had done a piece about collaboration, right? The collaboration of professionals and
right.
and how that is truthfully one thing that we strongly believe in at Beagle is the understanding of the entire project. You might be here for
yeah,
just a little bit.
The design intent behind it.
But we want to yeah. know what the ultimate goal is for this so that we can help guide and inspire appropriately.
Well, wouldn't you talk about what roof are you interested in? What kind
Correct.
Of, you know, what
Absolutely.
Colors do you like? All of it, because you can recommend your favorite stone yep. all day long.
Yep.
But if it's going to completely contrast with everything else you're doing.
Yep.
But here's why.
Certainly
here's
doesn't
also
make
why
for
it matters.
Good
I mean,
customers.
I have several projects where sometimes the application of the stone is actually too limited.
Ah.
So for instance, maybe it's only being used around the perimeter or on certain elevations. Maybe it's only the front elevation
sure.
and not the back elevation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we have learned here, especially doing lake homes,
mm-hmm.
is that the front of the home is actually the lakeside.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The front of the home is not like it is
Correct.
In other parts of the country where the front of the house is the front of the house, but
yeah.
the real moment is actually the way it's seen from the
yep.
lake.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so the application of that stone matters. And you're right, when you start to carry it vertically
mm-hmm.
and you start to carry it and you want that stone reference around the chimney up high, which mm-hmm. can be three stories up, you know, and you want to carry that sort of that beautiful visual of the stone higher, you can't use the same material.
Right.
You can say use the same material, but you can't use the same fabrication method.
Right. Correct.
And that's what you coach through.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
So it starts with a set of plans or?
It does. It's very helpful. Again, trying to understand the root of what we're trying to do, trying to understand the overall outcome, overall objective of what our end goal is for this material. The biggest thing of my encouragement is how they quickly navigate or slowly navigate through that is important to understanding where they are in their process. So
sure.
is this person here in the beginning stages, which we always incur, right? Stone is one of those selections that you should make in the forefront of your project, not when you're under roof.
Sure.
No, and it's because it all ties in. I mean, stone, whether it's siding, whether it's roofing material, whether it's shingle, like whatever it is, yes. all those exterior references are one of the most important things to start with.
Yes.
Because correct. it is the character, it is the identity of the home on the outside.
Well, and let's face it, stone is one of the most permanent decisions you're going to make mm-hmm. on the
right.
home. Yeah. You're not
that's
really going
to
change
it's hard
that
to go
after
back.
You pick that.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting when we used it elementally, you know, in other words, in the right percentage. I'll give you an example. We had a client that came to us with a project where the columns were just so big. Mm-hmm. From, you know, I mean, we're talking like 16 feet and mm-hmm. it almost looked a little too, a little bit like an institutional building.
Sure.
Because the columns just seemed wrong. And what we ended up doing is we recommended that the columns actually go shorter.
Sure.
And we recommended stone bases. Mm-hmm. And so we brought the stone into the porch area, which was very commonly done in historic
sure.
homes.
Absolutely.
Where you would bring stone bases and then mm-hmm. the column didn't almost seem like you were walking into like the Supreme Court.
The Parthenon. Right. Like, correct.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
correct.
So it still was grand.
Yeah.
But it was also approachable.
Yes.
And I think I would use stone. Stone is extremely, it's natural. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It has a lot of variation to it. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate people through the neuroses of stone variation? I'm very curious about this because it is probably our biggest challenge where it's like, well, I don't like it when it's brown. I'm like, okay, you got to let the stone yep. be the stone. Okay. Like you can't
well, we'll
throw
tell
out,
God
you can't throw
to make
out
more stone. Yeah,
but,
right.
But people do try to over-engineer natural materials
they do.
Where they get fixated on the one vein yep. or the one line of it. And it's actually what makes stone, especially on exterior canvases, because mm-hmm. this is really mm-hmm. important to understand. If you don't have that variation, mm-hmm. what ends up happening from a distance is it washes.
Correct.
That is the last thing you want from your stone.
Correct.
Is to wash from a distance. You want it to be equally as stunning up
yep.
close.
Correct.
And from a distance. And so correct. How do you coach people through that neuroses of like variation?
So it's funny that you say that. Like one of the don'ts of stone is like, don't just focus on color, right? You have to take in all of the different elements of stone and what that means. So size, scale, shape, color, all of those things are super important. Now, it's okay to start with one thing. Mm-hmm. If you say, I like colors like this, that's okay. That allows us to take the funnel and funnel it down to, great, we're looking for a gray stone and we're looking for a brown stone. Let me show you a few. Which of these do you like?
Because I find that clients are very contradictory in this discussion because what they'll say, well, I like gray, but I don't like yellow. And then you'll see a stone, they'll be like, okay, well, maybe a little yellow.
Uh-huh.
Like they tend to play that game a little bit. Like,
yes.
Well, maybe just, you know, I like how warm it is, right? So I think it's important for the teams that you're, especially when you're trying to coach people through yep. this type of selection, mm-hmm. you have to give them space to contradict.
Correct.
And to kind of let the coaching sink in and have correct. Them coach themselves through the confidence of picking the right material.
Yes.
Where I see a lot of showrooms go wrong mm-hmm. and where I see a lot of design professionals go wrong is they lock in on the one thing that the client says they absolutely think that they want
right.
and they treat it as some sort of absolute.
Right.
That's the path of least resistance.
Well, yeah, right. because they're like, okay, right. I'm gonna lock on all gray. And it's like, well, really? Like, can we just explore the other opportunities that might complement it? The one thing I wanted to speak to is when, and I do this a lot on projects, I will take two different batches. Mm-hmm. I'll blend them together in percentage.
Absolutely.
I will tell clients 50% of this lot.
Yes.
50% of this lot. Yes. I've even gone like, I have had projects where it's been like, you know, 30-30-40. You know what I mean? Like to just blend it together. And it tends to create an outcome where the client gets a little bit of everything that they love, mm-hmm. but nothing that they saw on one board.
Correct.
Okay. So correct. Blends are very common.
Yes.
This is not unique to
no,
me.
That is not. It is probably something, again, where in that questioning, in determining what it is, because when we come to color, you know, what I see as yellow, Philip, you may not see as yellow.
That's so true.
So it's understanding. What is it when you say this? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Show me, right? From a visual perspective, again, why showrooms are very important.
100%.
To allow you that
opportunity. There's no other way to do that
to
exercise.
Identify yeah. what that is. So blends are very, very common for us to do. When you look at a panel and you're like, well, I do like most of this, but what I don't like are the large pieces. Great. Let me show you something without that. Is this more what you were thinking? Mm-hmm. Or how do we tweak this? How do we customize this? Right? Because we're focused on legacy homes.
I can't stress to you enough how great it is where if you really want to show your client on site mm-hmm. a specific material, you can send it there.
Absolutely.
And you can work so therefore we can work
yes.
with the mason to sort of really yes. get an understanding of what this material is going
yes.
to do. I can't stress to you enough mock-ups.
Yes.
Even if you have to pay for the labor to do it, I will tell you it is one of the most important things that I think on these large projects that we do, have them do a section.
Yes.
Have them do a 4-foot section. In fact, the mason's happy to do it because they want to get it right too.
Well, exactly. Everyone wants to be on the same page. And I think that's what's super crucial, right? When you choose the right kind of partners to support a project, it is all about that communication piece from not just the client, but to everyone involved on the project. Because if we have a conversation, you need to know that we had this conversation. Your guy that you're going to ask to do this needs to know what our conversation is. So he has the right expectations.
Yeah,
so
it's the alignment all the way from supplier to installer.
Absolutely.
That alignment is critical. And you guys are really good at that. And you're dedicated to doing
that.
Which is probably why you've been in business as long as you have. Yeah. Before we get to break, I want to tip our hand to one thing because you're staying for the last segment. So we're gonna keep this going.
I warned her.
I know. But I want to, so here's what I love. Before you can get to the stone sample on the property, when you've narrowed down the stones and you're sort of really looking at it, the sunlight, and then you're looking at it on the cloudy day, and you're trying to come to that final determination of the right percentage. You know, not only an application of where on the home, but exactly the stone choice or the blend or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. You guys have recently come out with your own publication that actually coaches and teaches. And it's just another one of those really great resources that gives people the confidence to see the products applied to actual projects with your materials. Talk a little bit about Stone Journal.
Absolutely. So Stone Journal, our publication, which second edition just came out about a month ago. We're very excited to do it because really it's back and it's tipping our hat to the inspiration created through nature.
And it's a beautiful publication.
Thank you. We're very proud of it. So not only that, but then again, that collaboration piece of how projects come together, the necessary and successful things that we have done on projects to make them successful.
So you guys just launched this.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that project came to be?
Oh my goodness. Inspiration.
Yeah.
Mike Beekle, our owner, his inspiration to say we can do this. We should do this because this is who we are. Again, we tip our hat to the experience piece of it, and the experience is seeing those kind of things.
I find that it's pieces like that that really help.
Absolutely.
Like that visualization and getting it, especially getting it off screen, to be quite candid with you, getting it, you know, being in the showroom and then opening up that journal, which, by the way, is beautifully, it's a beautiful publication.
Yes.
How many of these publications do you believe you're going to offer? Like, how often are you going to do them?
Right now, I think they're planned for biannually. So there'll be two a year. Yeah.
Great.
That's our intent.
And they're all projects that are using your product.
They are. Absolutely. Right? They are Beekle specific.
And it goes into the story and the design intent behind them.
Yes.
Right?
The partners that we've used, where we
now, one of our favorite friends is a writer.
Yes.
He's amazing.
Yes. Paul's great.
Paul is fantastic. and if you ever get the chance to have Paul just introduce you into a room and just follow you around for a day,
you will smile the whole rest of the day.
The entire time. So I'm so glad that he's a part of that because his passion always comes through whenever we see him at Design Chicago through Aspire. So that's been awesome. So,
fantastic.
All right. So when we come back from the break, here's where I want to go. I want to go next level on this. Mm-hmm. I want to go where the future goes. I want to talk about fabrication. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about fabrication technique.
Okay.
And I also want to talk about how accessible picking the right stone can be with a team like Beekle Stone.
You got it.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. If you've missed all or part of the show, you can always check it out at lake961.com and Spotify. Don't remind me it's segment 4. I'm aware, Nancy, that it's the last segment. Anyway, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And Kim.
He's not bitter about it at all.
Meredith from Beekle Stone is joining us. And we've been talking all things stone. Thank you, first of all, so much for coming in and chatting about this. Because I don't think stone gets enough pub.
I agree.
All right.
I don't think we're going to get enough done in segment 4, Nancy.
Here's where we're going to go next with our last and final segment of the Design Coach Radio Show, whatever, is to get into this. First of all, tell people a little bit about how they can begin to interact with your company. Let's get the informational part of it out.
Sure. So Beekle Stone, probably spelt differently than you're hearing me say it. So BUECHEL stone.com. Check us out on our website, which is incredibly beautiful and inspirational. We are on Instagram. We are on LinkedIn. We are everywhere. putting out project photos for people to get inspired from.
You are very active on social media, which
absolutely
I thought was great.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And so, and I would encourage anyone, whether you're a design professional or you're a consumer, reach out. This is a very approachable Midwestern hubbed team that wants, that not just wants to sell you stone, okay, but also wants to coach you through that to make sure you're getting the right fit for you.
Yes. Well, I mean, you think about it. If you go to the website, I did while you guys were talking, as I always do to when he's talking about something, I'm just sitting here. I want to know, right? I want a visual like what you guys already know. And if you go to the website, gorgeous examples of pictures. But it's exactly what I was saying. I would really like this on my house, but I would have to touch it. I would have to feel it. I would have to see it. And but boy, just in the glancing that I did at the website, anybody can sell you stone,
right?
Like whatever,
right?
But you teach people how to buy stone, how to apply it, how to, and it's very clear immediately on the website that you care more about that than even
Nancy, you bring up a good point, because you know one of the things that we keep preaching on the Design Coach, not just in our business but on this program as well, is authenticity. You know, that level of authenticity and approachability, I believe that authenticity and approachability is sort of the gateway to education. When it's postured in such a way, and listen, our industry is an industry full of cats, or can be, okay? There's a lot of posturing going on in the design business, okay? Everybody's really concerned about lots of things. And the educational process sometimes, you know, takes a
backseat,
right? And I think that's to the detriment, right? Because you can't learn.
I was going to say that.
You can't learn everything you need to learn just by reading it. It helps to have good coaches, and you guys do that.
Yeah.
You do that through the Stone Journal. You do that obviously through the showrooms, and you also I'm sure you do that. That's part of your job. I think that's you're coaching probably every day.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I always look at it this way. You could go and ask my boss, Philip, that you know what how I view my particular role is. I'm in the relationship business, right? We only met a short time ago, and yet we're here because I do stone. But we were able to make that connection, of the passion for what it is that we do to provide other successful outcomes for their project, right? So really that is who we are, Beacle, as a whole company.
It's interesting that you say this, because I always anger drywallers and now I'm going to anger concrete people. Like, no one ever said, wow, you have amazing drywall. Like, that drywall's gorgeous. You know, it really made the space. No one has ever said, you have amazing concrete.
Right.
Like, it's amazing concrete. Like, unless you're doing a driveway, right? I understand that.
Sure.
But as an alternative to concrete is stone in landscaping. You know, obviously people know it for, you know, on your mantles and in the interior uses and on the outside of the home. I want to talk a little bit about landscape, because exterior environments are big.
Yeah.
And stone, it can kind of make or break it, either the lack of it, right?
Yeah.
Or the wrong choice.
Correct.
Talk a little bit about how heavily involved you are in exterior environments and exterior kitchens, patios, things like that for this particular product.
Well, that's actually great that you say that, Philip, because again, like when we go back to encouraging people to make these selections on the forefront, the landscaping portion of that is oftentimes not even determined yet or thought about
yet. Which is exactly what we try to preach, is like, let's take a holistic approach to the property,
right,
which includes the stone choice. And
correct.
By the way, when you lock in on it and you lock in on what the mixture is, you can take that same stone and it has multiple fabrication applications that then you can just basically add to what I call the visual alliteration of a home. In other words, stone becomes a really important decorative motif.
Yes.
Right?
Well, and that's the part of the education piece that a lot of people don't know, because they don't know that I picked that for the vertical. Or, you know, the vertical application of my home, I didn't know that I could take that horizontally for my paving, for my patio area, for my fire pit or whatever, my big landscape wall. I didn't realize that I could use the same product there, here, so that everything is cohesive.
Yeah. And so I'm sure that you guys are getting a lot of applications for, you know, listen, you know what's coming back? Decorative walls, especially on facings of pools. We recently did one where we had an entire spillover.
Sure.
That was like layered in stone, and the goal was to sort of make it this like really, you know, kind the of, way that it was applied, the sound of the water over the stone mattered. So it's not just about the visual.
Correct.
And it's not always about the fabrication. It is about the canvas.
Yes, correct.
So the fact that you have multiple options for the way the stone is fabricated means that you can apply it to multiple canvases. I'm sure you're getting a lot of exterior environment like patios are big, especially here in the Geneva Lakes area where summer is a sport.
Uh-huh.
The outside is where you spend the majority of your a lot of your time.
Yeah.
Tell us about how you guys coach people through the landscaping on the landscape side, because I do find that, you know, obviously you've got the architects, you've got the builders, but then you've also got the landscape contractors.
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about from outcrop stones to, you know, larger scale, smaller scale. How do you guys handle those conversations, especially if that's a conversation that's falling behind in design?
It's actually very similar to what we do like on the forefront when we're talking about the vertically applied material is what is our application? What are we trying to do? Are we trying to retain a large wall, right? Because then size and scale matters, just like everywhere else, that matters. Or are we just doing a small retaining wall? Are we just trying to line landscape beds? What are we using material for so that we can make that right selection or at least steer people in selecting the right product? Because really, not all stone is created equal, right? There are some things that are good in certain applications and not good in others.
That's a really good, can you speak to that a little bit about the varieties of stone and what you should be using for what application?
Yeah, the durability, the different test data, the different ratings for different products in certain applications absolutely matters, right? We're not going to...
Yeah, what is the go-to rock vertical stone?
Go-to, wow. Vertically, as long as it's done appropriately, lots of different products can be selected based on where they come from across the country. Horizontally in the Midwest, we are absolutely going to look at and recommend products that have a higher density rating for the freeze thaw considerations in our climate. Right, we're not going to choose a product that has a high absorption rate for water because
and
what types of
stones might those be?
So like limestone. Limestone is what we do. So everything that we do is either a limestone or a sandstone. Everything from the Wisconsin region that we quarry from is a very dense dolomitic limestone. So that is why it is sought after across the country because of its density rating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Efficiency, energy efficiency.
Yeah.
Stone on the outside of your house, stone, you know, isn't that a very practical application if you want the highest energy efficiency as well? I mean, because it's not just what it looks like. It's also about what it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your R rating, right? Your insulation things.
Especially on patios that have direct sunlight.
Sure.
Yes.
That's really big. Also for the consideration around pool decks, what's too hot?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Darker colors can get really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So the not only the absorption, but also the color matters.
Absolutely.
In those instances. And, you know, we coach clients through that all the time. But here's the one thing we don't pretend to do. Like, I know a lot about a lot of things, but I don't know everything about everything. And so partnering with professionals
like,
easy. I know I sound that way, but like that's not exactly the truth. But I will say that partnering with the ongoing education is, I think, something that I think is really critical. And I also oftentimes find that stone and stone products are kind of foreign.
Sure.
They're just sort of foreign. And
that's
you guys make it
not
you guys
uncommon.
And you guys are making it like super approachable. Is there a popularity of certain stones regionally? Because you work in a bunch of areas. You said Texas, California, you know, some Midwest. Are there popular stones that are just more popular out west than are here in the Midwest?
There are. It was kind of funny because during Design Chicago, we kind of talked about trends, right?
Yes.
Like, is stone trendy? Can stone be trendy? Well, it absolutely is because, right, different color tones, different whatever it is, different cuts, that happens and usually comes in waves from the West Coast, you know, all the way through. So it just... I think a lot of it has to do with different color tones that people are drawn to. But
what would be the most popular color tones right now?
So right now we're actually taking a shift from those lighter tone, those whites and grays, to more of our earth tone kind of thing. So we're seeing kind of mother earth of the warmer, creamier, right, more inviting kind of color tones make its way back versus I want light.
And I do find that those stones have more character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole concept of the whitewash, you know, like something you'd find on Joshua Becker's house. sorry, for those of you, Kim does not know this, but Joshua Becker is a very well-known minimalist. So I take unnecessary shots at Joshua Becker all the time. But I actually do believe he has a lot of good things to say, but
he just can't find
it. I envision
any,
him sitting on
his
white stone in blue jeans and a t-shirt and a candle.
No stone for you.
No, but I do see the complexities of traditional design, timeless design, classic design, finding their way back.
Absolutely.
Color is and this was at at the Powerhouse Smart Conference, neo-traditional or new traditional, which is, you know, modern convenience rooted in something natural and real. Right. And, you know, these color tones are going to make a comeback. I'm telling you, like, I'm not saying we're going to, you know, I'm not saying people are going to build castles. Right. Okay. But maybe. Right. Okay. I'm just letting you know, right.
We're
now,
hoping,
like,
so.
If new luxury, if new luxury is going to be the ability to disappear right about now in some parts of the country, a castle's not a bad thought as far as, like, walking into your architect and being like, what do you want to build? I want to build a castle.
A castle.
Okay. And
please.
A moat.
And
so,
I want a turret.
So those natural tones, are there certain types of stones that have, like, a wild variation from season to season?
I was just thinking about that on the ride here as I was looking around and noticing all the color and or the lack thereof.
Oh, my gosh, you're right.
Right?
Honestly. Okay, so your radar on stone is at an all-time high all the time.
Yeah, like, okay. I'm like, man, this is when homes start to look beautiful, when you have all of these beautiful color tones coming in from the changing of the leaves and all these kind of things, and how different homes look in different times of the season to how you decorate them. Yeah, I mean, really... It does change based on how you decorate, change based on
the
time.
Well, talk about change. Let's
season.
Talk application, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, with the remainder of the show. The application matters.
Yeah.
I have found that when I have had masons who are really coaching me through it, mm-hmm. it's just fascinating. I've been recently associated with a couple of them on a couple projects where, you know, I literally had this mason who was like, I swear he might have been in Lederhosen, and he was standing on a rock pile, and his name was Roland, and he was just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was smoking a cigar, watching these guys do their work, mm-hmm. and he was like the head guy, mm-hmm. and he had just like locks of blonde hair, like literally that's how he looked. And then I've got Gordon, who's like this guy in Florida, who's like meticulously putting all of the puzzle pieces together, like, you know, and he sort of looks like Bat Masterson. He sort of has like a Western saloon vibe to him. Like, but what I loved about them was their passion for the puzzle piece of stone.
Absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit about the passion for the puzzle piece, because that matters. How they're stacked, how they're put together, and how they're mortared, like the mortar in between, the thickness of that line.
Sure.
Like, Talk a little bit about that, because it can dramatically change. And you guys have examples of this.
We do.
In your showroom, where you have different types of applications for the same stone, it can look completely different.
Well, and again, that kind of tips its hat back to the educational piece. Philip, everybody doesn't know that you can have different types of mortar applications to change the look of that stone and what that actually does.
Can you describe a few of them for the audience?
Sure. So your traditional raked joint, right? Like, you can imagine that there's mortar in between stones and it's pretty clean looking, right? It's fairly clean.
You can identify the shape of the stone.
Absolutely. You have your wonderful things like an overgrout, where maybe the stone is coming onto the face of the stone to kind of give it a softer feel, kind of covering some of that.
Almost
making
like an
it
old
look
wall.
A little bit old world mm-hmm. kind of feel, right? Like those old barn walls that you used to see,
right?
Things like that. God forbid we have that German schmear where we're going to put that all over the face of the stone. Maybe you can tell it's probably not my favorite, but you can do that. You can have the absence.
The German schmear sounds like something you should buy tickets to.
Well, yeah.
Did you catch the German schmear on Saturday night?
Crazy!
Oh my goodness! But you can also have the lack of the visual perspective of the lack of mortar between the stones.
Right.
So, like a dry stack application.
Like a dry stack application, which is, you know, pretty popular in Frank Lloyd Wright kind of mm-hmm. craftsmen.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Look how much I've learned from you.
Right? How about it? How about it? And I hope I hope everybody today has learned a lot from Kim. Kim, I can't thank you enough for coming in and
at least,
you know, again, like just really touching on this subject that I think is, again, I think it's underexposed, and I think it's really exciting to bring it to light and to have you kind of put a voice to it today.
Well, thank you.
If people want to find out more about BicoStone, could you just repeat that one more time for everybody?
You can check us out online on our website at www.beaclestone.com. That's BUECHEL stone.com. Check us out on Instagram, Flickr, whatever it is, whatever social media platform you probably want to visit. We're like,
you're there.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great day, everybody. You've been coached.